Hello, welcome to episode 2 in our short series talking to our comedian mums about their experience of birth. In this episode, I talk to comedian Esther Minito, and let's just say, in case you're about to give birth soon, this is a lovely positive story. But before we get to listen to that, I just want to tell you some exciting news. Now, I may have mentioned it before, but I can officially say we are on Patreon. If, like me, you have no idea what that is, think of it as like paying into stocks and shares, but you're investing in us, funny mummies. So, as you know, we're in a global pandemic. So for comedians and other show-offs like myself, work is very low, unless you're Anton Deck. So you can go to patreon.com, Funny Mummies Podcast. And for the price of buying us a coffee once a month, £2.50, you couldn't get a coffee in London for that. Click on buy a coffee for a mum and you'll be helping us tick over and you get the bonus of getting the podcast before anyone else. Or click on the £6 subscription, which is child free hour tier, and you'll get early podcast access, a video copy of the podcast. So that's when you'll see all our faces on video, early access to tickets for live shows, and we will do a live Zoom Q&A with a guest just for you. This will go towards offering our guests a fee to cover their childcare when they're on the show, something I've always dreamed of being able to do. And you get to be smug that you are supporting the development of an all-female and diverse creative production company to make, we hope, more things in the future. Okay, thank you. As you were, go on, go to patreon.com, Funny Mummies Podcast. But first of all, let's listen to this episode. This is the Funny Mummies Podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress, and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts, and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. You're listening to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for the Other Woman Show. We got nothing to be guilty of. I just thought that's a good, mum song, isn't it?
Nothing to be guilty
of. Nothing to be guilty of.
Always be guilty.
Even though you wake up feeling guilty for something, even if you haven't got anything yet.
It's like Catholicism just invented motherhood.
Be guilty at all times. That other voice you can hear, I'm going to give her a proper intro in a minute. You'll listen to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for the Other Woman Show. I'm not quite sure what order these shows are going out, so let's just not worry about that. And we are doing... I'm Hattie Ashdown. And I'm comedian and mum, and we're back in the Soho Radio studios, which is always lovely to be out. Had to wear my mask, and I'm getting quite sensitive about the mask. I don't know if anyone else, face coverings, I guess. There's a lot of people not wearing them on the bus that I was on, and I'm feeling a bit sensitive today, so I just feel that kind of like, you don't care about me thing. Mm. But anyway, we'll get to that later. But anyway, we're talking about, which we're all happy, we didn't have to go through this in our births, but sorry. That sounds awful for anyone who's about to go through birth in COVID times. So, we are talking birth stories. And so we've already started them off with myself and Gemma. And so you can go back and listen to those. And so it was actually Gemma Beagley's idea. She was like, I love a birth story. And so I said, right, let's do a little short series talking to our guests about their birth experiences. Now, if you're listening to this at the top, one of the things I want to say is, it's really interesting that when you say that, like when I put a bit of a shout out on one of the Facebook pages, which a lot of female comics are on, and everyone wanted to tell me, like, oh, I had a story that would put, you know, hair on your chest or whatever, and I was like, just because I'm
we'll a baby out of you,
yeah, doesn't mean. It's funny how people think story means traumatic, and I just meant your experiences. But so so if you are listening, it's, you know, it's a journey, and it's not, yeah, anyway, let's get on with it and find out whose story we're going to find out about today. So my guest today, apparently she just fell into it. She just tripped over into comedy while on maternity leave. Her credits for someone who never wanted to be a comic are ranking up. From Arab Woman of the Year nominee, BBC New Comedy Award 2018, So You Think You're Funny finalist, and her debut Edinburgh show, Crusade, which was 2019. She's also a published author. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I could go on, but I won't, because credits are never fun to hear.
She's just going to read a long list.
Yeah.
In 1989,
she got a gymnastics award.
Duke of Edinburgh. Finalist.
Please don't tell me you did. She's mum of two. I'd be so jealous of that. She's a regular at my Scream with Laughter lunchtime comedy clubs where babies can come to. It's Esther Manito.
Whee!
Do I pronounce your name right? Manito.
Yeah, Manito. Yeah. Just Manito. But Manito. I love the way you divide it into two.
Do what? It's my dyslexia.
Is that your name? Manito. Yes.
Do what? Yeah, I do, yeah. That with lots of different weird pronunciations that my husband thought was cute when we first met and now thinks it's annoying.
And so speaks the story of marriage.
It is though, isn't it? It's like, oh, that's quite cute.
Yeah. No, everything sure about them at the beginning, every relationship, you're like, oh, I love that. Especially after lockdown, you're just like, I hate everything about you.
Really, hasn't brought you closer together with your... So tell me, your husband married?
Yeah, yeah, I'm married, yeah. Yeah. 16 years, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Hmm.
Her face.
No, he's fine. He's fine.
He's fine. You know, it didn't bring you close together. You're kind of like, I can't stand it when you eat.
Yeah. I mean, I think anyone that's like, oh my God, just bring those clients in together, just needs to be beaten in public,
yeah,
as a kind of like punishment. They should bring back the gallows for such people, because whilst I love my husband and, you know, everything's groovy, but I don't think it's natural to be locked in a house with just no outlet apart, yeah, from your 60 minutes a day. I just think it's very
and
bizarre.
Also with kids, it's not like these couples that have got no kids that maybe they're being able to do nice things together.
But what nice things?
I don't know, like wallpaper in their living room.
Oh, Hattie, you need to get a knife.
That's what I would like to be doing.
We did do a bit of DIY, again, that just annoyed me. Everything, yeah, annoys me. I'm a very short-tempered woman.
Okay, so let's do our little quick fire round, which is a little way of finding out, quick way of our listeners finding out about you. So, you just like say one or the other, really.
Okay.
Tantrums or teething?
Oh, hang on, what am I saying?
Would I
rather deal with?
Tantrums or teething?
Teething.
Yep, good girl. Lockdown or childbirth?
Childbirth.
Wine or coffee?
Wine.
Good girl. Early night or lay in?
Lay in.
I don't like this one. I might change it. Changing a pooey nappy or sick from a car seat? I mean...
Pooey nappy.
It's a stupid one, really.
You can't get sick out of a car seat. Like, literally, it'll be 7 years later, yeah, and you're like, I can still smell it.
Oh, I've not experienced it, thank God.
There is something about child vomit that manages to get in crevices that adult vomit would never get into. Child, yeah, vomit is really projectile, because adults kind of are able to go, oh, I'm feeling sick, I'm feeling, yeah, sick, and then they can kind of at least restrain themselves for a few seconds, whereas with children, they're just like, something's not right, but I probably, yeah, won't say anything.
Yeah. In the car seat.
I'll just wait until I'm in the car seat, and then I'll just kind of like, and then I'll just really let my stomach really projectile it across the car. So pooey nappy.
Hands down. I always think it's funny. I remember my niece when she was pregnant, and she was just like, I'm dreading the nappies. I was like, honestly, that will be the least of your problems. Mm. And in a way, weird way, I quite like changing a nappy. Get to sit down for a minute.
Yeah.
Anyway. So let's take us back. So just so people, you've got two children. How old, yeah, are they now?
They are 5 and 7.
5 and 7.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to get there. I feel like you're sort of out of the woods a bit.
Out of the woods.
So should we go, yeah, with oldest birth first? So,
okay, oldest birth first.
And
that sounds really medieval.
Yeah.
We will go with the oldest birth first.
Come hither.
Yeah. It was in the woods. And it was delivered by an elk. Yeah.
Oh, it'd be great if we had some wood births. Anyway, if you've had a birth in the woods, get in touch. I want to hear your story. And this was your girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done. I won that round.
You won that round, yeah.
So this was... yes. We've just seen someone we know. I didn't just suddenly... at you.
She's just had a baby.
Yes.
He has.
She's on my list to get on the show, actually. Yeah. He's still waiting.
Look at him walking around looking not shit.
I know. Not
for a new time
we.
Dad.
Just looking at dads through the window. Doof, doof, doof. Boy, 7 years ago, take us back. 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Did you have a birth plan?
Yes, like all new time parents, I thought a birth plan was something that would be listened or indeed cared about. So I wrote my birthing plan, which was very strict. And then as soon as went into labour, you're just like, fuck everything.
Prenatal classes and all that?
Yeah, I did the whole shebang. I did NCT. I did hypnobirthing.
Did you?
Yeah. Which, you know, I guess is good. It teaches you a bit of breathing, but the whole thing of like, you're just going to breathe the baby out. No.
Did you enjoy the actual classes? Did you go to physical classes? Or did you just read a book or something?
I did the physical classes.
Did you?
Listened to the guided meditation.
With your husband?
With my husband. Yeah. It was all really exciting, actually. Quite an exciting time.
Yeah.
My husband was asked to leave a hypnobirthing class when he was laughing hysterically at some of the pictures that were presented. Well, it wasn't the pictures, but it was just like women kind of like hanging from a wall, like, but they all had really dead eyes. Like all the people in the pictures had really dead eyes. And he was just like, you know, when something tickles you and you're not supposed to laugh.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
And the woman, the midwife, was like, you know, come on. What's wrong? And he was going, really sorry, it's just they've got really dead eyes in the pictures. And then that just set off all the other dads.
Oh, did it?
And then he had to leave. And then every time he came back in and she'd try and restart with the pictures, he was just like, nope, can't do it, I have just got to leave again because that's just really funny.
Hypnobirthing, see, she was a bad teacher because it's all about raising your oxytocin and laughter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so she should have encouraged it.
Yeah, I think she just needed to kind of get through the PowerPoint presentation that she had prepared, and he wasn't helping in that. But yeah, we did the whole, and breathing does help to control the pain a bit. Yeah,
I definitely talked in my story about that. You can go back and listen to that. But yeah, I wasn't able to use all hypnobirthing tendencies, but thank God for the breathing because I needed something to focus on.
Yeah.
So was you able to use those breathing? Take us to what happened. Did you break your waters break? Or?
So it was very...
Take us back to what date is this?
So this was the 26th of July, 2013.
Take us back to 2013.
I've been in labour for like 2 days before that. It was very slow and steady and really... like just
at home,
you know, when you keep going to hospital and they're like, you've only dilated a millimeter, go away again, and you're just like, I'm in so much pain, there's nothing to do. So I just watched all series one of Luther whilst bouncing manically on a ball just breathing while my husband just went to sleep and like woke up again, had breakfast, and he was like, oh, have you managed to get any sleep? And I was like, no, I've literally just bounced myself into oblivion just watching Luther, and I'm just so knackered. And then eventually, when the contractions were getting really close together, went into hospital. And then they were like, okay, he can go away now because it's still going to be a little while. And they gave me gas and air, which just made me vomit everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. Not a good gas and air fan. I literally just blew a whitey. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And then my waters broke. And then they were like, okay, now it's time to go. So I went into a birthing suite and... got into a pool of water and all pain left.
Wow.
And she was born in water. But I had literally from the moment I got into water, I had no pain.
You are one of the unicorns because we often talk about...
Thank you.
...that I hear people, I wanted a water birth, but it in the end, various, you go back and listen, I couldn't. But and I hear that so many times that people say, oh, I wanted and it couldn't happen. Yeah. So I'm so, oh, that's so positive.
It was really, and then it just turned into this really hippy dippy birth.
Did you have music?
I had my Bob Marley playing. I had Bob Marley, and I was in the water, and I was just chatting to my husband, and occasionally just had the pressure to push a little bit, and it was fine, and out she came. So I had about 3-4 hours in the pool, And then she came out. But honestly, the moment I hit water, the pain stopped.
Really?
Yeah. So I didn't have to take anything.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was all right.
I mean, I tore like a fucker, but yeah, apart from that, it's fine. Well, I mean, if you've been sat in water for ages,
yeah,
then obviously everything kind of...
Yeah. Did you have to have stitches?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's always great as well, having stitches afterwards, because you don't even really feel the pain from that, because you're just, like, literally you've just given birth. But I was, like, leg splayed to the door.
Yeah.
I was like, is there any way that maybe just, like, you know, shuffle me around a little bit? So every time someone walks in, people just be walking in going, do you need a cup of tea? And I'm like, I'm literally greeting you vag first. Like,
they are just coming in and out, aren't they?
Yeah, there is no... I people that have said to me who are pregnant and they haven't given birth yet, and they're like, I just want to wear like a nightie and then just give birth like through the night. I don't really feel comfortable getting naked. And you're like, no, the moment labour starts, you're just like, yeah, take off all your clothes and just...
The birthing bag, all that. Did you do all that?
Mm.
Pack your little birthing bag. I remember Katie Herring saying about packing a little bottle of Prosecco.
And to have
that optimism, but then, like, she was like, I didn't even look at it, like, that was just like, yeah, did it into her mind. But it's nice optimism that she would be wanting to drink that afterward, like, baby pops out, poof, you know, glug, 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 glug. I'm sure she did later on when she got home, things settled down, but yeah, that's not the thing. I remember I've still got the nightie, actually. That was like, I'll get a loose nightie, one that baby can come out, and then I can breastfeed in. And
just, you know,
but you just, everyone's different, obviously, but I think there must be a natural thing that your body just gets so hot.
Yeah, well, it's the thing of just your entire body is contracting, so you just want to get everything off. At the time I thought it might be funny to like buy a really like Towie style bikini and be like, I'm just gonna wear this, and be like, I'm gonna be like really like Jordan style sexy birth. But no, that didn't happen. So I gave birth to Bob Marley in a pool. Well, and it was all hippy dippy. And then my daughter's called Layla, and the midwife was called Layla, which was all kind of mental because I knew I was going to call her Layla, and then the midwife was like, "Hi, I'm Layla," and we're like, "Oh my god, this is meant to be."
Yeah, oh, that's lovely.
All very picturesque. And
a good experience in hospital. They treated you well.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was my daughter's birth was absolutely amazing. I came out feeling pretty epic. I was like, oh my god, that's just fine. That's fine.
That's
I can do that again.
Yeah, and you did. So let's have some Bob Marley first, and then we'll hear about your second birth. You'll listen to the Funny Mummies for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. Oh, we don't want to go on to the next track. You're listening to The Funny Mummies for The Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. I'm Hattie Ashton, and I'm with Essa Mito today, and we're talking I've just realised I've called this playlist Fun Birth, but it's because it's Funny Mummies Birth. We're talking about our fun births. No, we're talking about births.
Giving birth, it's fun.
Well, your first one sounds...
First one was fine.
Sounds like it was.
Yeah,
it was good. A positive experience. So she came into the world.
Yeah.
Lovely jubbly.
Lovely jubbly.
Then you've waited. How long then? Not long then, about 2 years?
So my little boy was... She was about 14 months when I fell pregnant with my little boy.
Oh my gosh.
And then...
That's so close.
So she was just under two when I gave birth to him.
Wow.
Yeah, so
I'm trying to imagine it now because my youngest is two and like... thought of...
So yeah, it was two in nappies.
And so was you just like... If it happens again, let's just go with it.
No, I wanted another one.
Oh, so you were trying.
Yeah, so we were trying. And then with him, pregnancy was probably emotionally a lot easier. Because I'd had recurrent miscarriages before my girl, but I was really like the whole time I was pregnant with her, I was just like,
right.
But with him, I was a lot more relaxed, but he did kick the living daylights out of my inside.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I had like he would, there was like a trap nerve, and when he kicked on it, I would just be disabled. And I remember, like, friends of mine were like, we were going to caravan in King's Cross, and I came out King's Cross Station and he kicked me, and I was just paralysed in the middle of the street, really heavily pregnant, going, I can't move. I'm just completely in agony. And so they had to come meet me and, like, kind of hobble me to the restaurant. So he did do that a lot.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. He completely, like, my ribs have never gone back in. I've got really wide ribs now. Like, the, you know, the circumference of your bra size.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So mine's gone up huge.
Yeah. So I went up because my ribs are now, like, they just stick out.
I thought that's just pregnancy, isn't it?
Does it do it to all women?
Yeah, mine are much.
Yeah, I mean, your frame just goes out.
Yeah.
Bras. It's just a really magical time.
It's just a really positive thing to do. You can go from a 34 to a 38 bra. Size.
And you get, like, big banana hands, and
I just threw a load of bras out the other day. Like, why are you keeping them? You're not going to shrink your rib cage back.
No, you're not.
Just throw them away. Sad times.
I know. Like, it was weird because I got back down to my pre-pregnancy weight, and then we were having a clear out, and I went to put my wedding dress on, and I was like, it fits everywhere. Why?
Oh.
But I can't get the zip up the side, and I was like, oh, it's because I've now got a massive rib cage.
Why were you putting your wedding dress on just for?
Because I was just dressing up around the house. It's just to do the chores. I just want to feel pretty for a day.
I don't feel pretty. Oh, there you go. There, my wedding dress. There's no way I'd be getting it done up. Oh, my
just
gosh.
Just answering the door to the Amazon man, like, yes, thank you. Thank you for delivering me. No, this is just what I wear, actually.
So that pregnancy was a bit more difficult.
Physically, yeah.
Physically.
Yeah. I had to wear one of them girdles, you know, that kind of pulls your stomach up to take
the
weight off.
Oh, yes, I had one of them.
Yeah. He was practically hanging out by about 4 months.
He was just really, he was really big then.
Just really big and low, and I was just like this massive elephant. I mean, I literally, you could have smashed a bottle against me and just launched me into the sea. I was just huge. It was just, and then, yeah, and then I wanted to do the same again. I was like, I'm going to do like a lovely birthing. And I was going to go to Barking Birthing Suite, where birthing centre, where it's not even a hospital. And they were like, yeah, no, you're risk-free and it's all going to be great. And then I turned up on the day that I felt contractions. But they were completely pain-free. I wasn't in any pain this time. I was just, you know, you can feel yourself being squeezed.
Right.
And then I went in and they were like, all your waters have gone. Oh. And I was like, have they? And they were like, yeah, no, you've lost all your waters. And I had gone to the toilet that morning. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm peeing for ages. But no, I'd lost my waters. But I was just not in any pain. And they were like, oh, we're going to have to... Are you contracting yet? I was like, I can't really feel anything. Not really. So then they were like, okay, well, now we're going to have to do the first step of inducing you. So they put the tablet in. And they were like, can you feel anything now? And I was like, no. And then they took me down to this room.
So, minute, why were they inducing you?
Because the water's broken.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot that rule.
Then they took me down to this little room. And they were like, no, you can't go in the water. You're going to have to go over to the hospital. It's all very, like, panic.
Why? Because they'd induced you?
Yeah. Well, because they'd put the tablet in, which is the first stage. And then they put me in this room, which, like, overlooked the car park where there was, like, builders. And the blinds were all broken, so the builders were just like, all right. And I'm there just like, okay, this is really depressing. And I just sat on this bed and, like, compared it to my daughter where I'd, like, been in the water and had Bob Marley
Someone
playing.
Just put Bob Marley on for me, please.
And I was like, this is... And then this midwife came in who was such a cow, and she was like, what pain relief do you want for being induced? Because we're going to have to induce you by drip. And I literally turned to my husband because I hadn't even thought about pain relief.
No.
And I was like, and in the split second, because I didn't say instantly, she just went, oh, you're one of those that think you're going to do it without pain relief. Well,
she didn't.
Yeah. And she went, well, induction is so painful, you're going to need pain relief. And I just burst into tears. Off she went. And then two other midwives came in. They were like, oh, we're changing shifts now, so we're your new midwives. And I was like, oh, thank God. And I said, oh, that woman was really horrible. And they were like, yeah, no, she can be a bit spiky. And they were absolutely lovely. And then the doctor came in and went, okay, it's time to put her on the drip. And these midwives were like, no, she's contracting. She's fine. She doesn't need to go on a drip. And I was like, am I contracting? They were like, yeah, you're 10 centimetres dilated during contractions.
Oh,
and I was
gosh.
Like, but I'm not having any pain. And they're like, yeah, but you're giving birth. And wow. But the doctor would have put me on, he would have induced me. He would have rushed me down to the theatre and induced me and had me on epidurals and all the rest of it. But these women, they were just like, no, we know what we're doing. Wow. And they just literally turned the lights off, got a little lamp on. She got her laptop out, put some nice music on, and they just calmed the whole situation down.
Wow.
And then he was born like a couple of hours later.
And but not in the water, but just, he just slipped
just
out.
Just on a bend, yeah.
Like a little.
And then I literally only had about 2 hours of pain.
You are a positive story.
But it was quite epic pain. I had to take dimorphin by then. I was like, oh, this pain's really bad.
And dimorphin?
Like, is it dimorphin that you take? You
epidural?
No, not an epidural. Well, they give you a pain relief injection. And you still feel the pain, but you just don't care about it.
So that's
just,
epidural.
No, epidural is when they put an injection in.
Oh, I don't know. I only know...
It's like an opioid.
I don't know that.
You can have like...
Just we're looking at the producer like... I don't know, we're just like looking around.
She's a young, fresh-faced thing. She's like, don't look at me.
I don't... Why do she's I not... Like, I know there's the... it's epidural, gas and air, the one beginning with P.
Pethidine.
Not that. Oh.
I'm sure it was like a dimorphine or something.
You sure it wasn't just someone off the street? Just a
builder leaning in through the window. Yeah. Have some of that, sweetheart.
Honestly, I've never heard of that.
It was definitely began with a G. Anyway, they gave me that. And whilst I could still feel the pain, I certainly didn't give a toss about it. So I was just like, nah, everything's fine. So I had literally about an hour of intense pain and then an hour of pain that I didn't really
care about.
So this
just take the pain off, but you could still feel the head.
Yeah.
You could still feel head.
Yeah.
But in terms of that part, would that not last too long then?
Yeah. So the whole, from the moment I felt pain, it was about 2.5 hours of labour. Yeah, he was super quick. He just was like...
Some people are just good at birthing. You're good at it.
Big feet, wide hips.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it's about.
That's honestly so different from my Gemma stories. It's like, I might put this one out first just to like...
This is the positive. So yeah, I haven't got... I mean, apart from the kind of midwife going, you're going to suffer... that was the only kind of negative part of it. But it definitely wasn't as romantic and as lovely as...
Yeah.
My daughter's was very slow and very steady and all very kind of like, la, la, la. Whereas in my boy was like, right, first we'll go to hospital and then, you know, now we're going to have to induce you. But it all turned out all right. But it's down to the midwives. They're just awesome.
I was going to say, then in some ways, the only negative... Because we talked about this as well, me and Gemma, was... you saying about that... was it a midwife or doctor that said to you...
It's going to hurt.
Was that a midwife?
It's midwife.
Unfortunately, I had one midwife that said something similar where we just like, she completely ruined my bubble because I was like, and in hypnobirthing, because I've become quite good friends with the woman who did my hypnobirthing, and she's just would love to just train all midwives to like just from that angle of just being positive, like if you can't do anything else from hypnobirthing, just that positive which we should apply in everything in life, but you know, that sort of like, don't come in with like, because with me it was just she was like, oh, she didn't say that, but she was just like, I was like, I'm in so much pain. She went, you're only 1 centimeter down, it's probably gonna be days. And I was like, don't.
You're going to be here for years. I mean, imagine when you're in a lot of pain, someone just going, oh, you know the pain you're feeling.
Yes!
You're just going to feel that for so long. I mean, you think it's going to end. It's just never going to end. And it's like, how the hell is that? Like, if someone's running a marathon, you don't just go, well, you've only done a mile.
Yeah.
Still got 25, love.
You're never going to do it.
Imagine if all the marshals were standing on the corners going, you'll impress us when you get to 24, sweetheart. So don't look to me for a thumbs up. Yeah, I know. It's absolutely mental. And
but then you get other ones that are lovely, obviously. So I'm not slanging off midwives, obviously.
No, not at all.
But some of them need training.
The other two. So I had a woman called Sarah and a woman called Layla who delivered my first one, who were absolutely amazing. And then a lady called Ronki and another lady. I can't remember her name. I think it was Natasha or Natalie. But they were just awesome. They were just awesome. They completely walked into a situation of me crying, builders outside drilling, blinds like broken, me thinking I'm going to have this horror story.
Yeah.
And they just turned it all around. And the doctor was so close to going, right, get her on a drip and let's get her in,
that's
induced.
Amazing.
And they were like, no, she can do it. It's fine.
That's amazing. And, you remembered out it came. Everyone, I always say that you remember your midwife's name, the good ones. But also, I think, do you think it's because, maybe you're just good at remembering names, but I'm not always good at remembering names. But in those circumstances, and I've given birth twice, I think it's because I do not want to forget their name because I want them to hear me when I'm saying, please get me some more epidural, or whatever. So I'm like, what's your name? Oh, Jade. Right, okay. Thanks, Jade. Every 5 seconds, I'm like, Jade. Like, the thing is, Jade, you know, I've asked for...
thing is, Jade, I don't really want to do this. So, like, what are the options? Yeah. I was like, why can't we just be put under general anaesthetic?
That's cesarean, isn't it?
I was just like, can't we just be? Because did you used to watch Mad Men?
No, I've never. But
But did you? Well, so there was a birthing technique that they showed in Mad Men, and I was like, that can't be true. Which was called Twilight Sleep, and apparently it was something that was done for a short period in the '60s. It started off in Holland, and then in America and the UK, they used it for a short period where they literally just pumped women through of mind-bending drugs, so they weren't unconscious,
right?
But they just came round and they're like, oh, they've got a baby in their arms. But they literally were strapped to a bed, thrashing and hallucinating. What? The doctors yanked the baby out, and then you just come out of your hallucination the other end going, right, well, I don't remember anything that happened. And they're saying, and that's why the men weren't allowed in the room, because it'd just be too mental to see. And I was like, that's horrific. And then after I gave birth, I was like, no, that sounds like a really good option, actually. Yeah,
sounds like a good option.
Just don't remember any of it.
I'm sure there was no, like, later side effects years later.
Yeah, I mean, then, like, they did all turn out to be serial killers, but it's fine.
Eat their own babies, but... Sorry. I'm swigging the loudest water bottle ever that I've... do you want to hear it in its full effect? It's so noisy. It sounds like... Listen.
Do you know what that reminds me of, though? You know, in Love Island, they've all got their water bottles like that. And they're always playing with them, aren't they? They're always like, I'm grafting here. Yeah. Like, I've been grafting 100%. And they've all got, and I became addicted to just listening. I get really like, oh, it's really aesthetically pleasing.
Oh, I didn't really go with the Love Island, but I have been getting into, I'm a bit late to it, but Love is Blind. Have you watched that on Netflix?
No.
Going to talk about it after this. Okay. Right, let's wrap up birth a little bit, and we'll just sort of talk about comedy and all that sort of stuff. So I'm going to go with some... I was going to put on some classical, but because you were saying about your lovely women putting on classical for you, but I couldn't find any, so...
Couldn't find any classical. It's quite hard to
find. It's quite hard to find.
You type in classical, the computer literally just goes, I don't know what that is.
But I want to know. I wanted to know what I was putting on. I didn't just want to put classical into Google. So I put C and then cloud busting come up, and I thought that's perfect for birth, isn't it? A bit of Kate Bush. You listen to Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. You'll make it. Sorry, I didn't realise I was a bit of an Alan Partridge moment there.
That was Kate Bush.
Was that your Alan Partridge voice?
I don't think I can do an Alan Partridge voice. That was Kate Bush.
Oh, not bad.
Quite literally, coming out of your bush. Let's talk birthing.
That voice you can hear, otherwise known as impersonator of Alan Partridge, is Esther Minito. I'm Hattie Ashton. We're just sort of wrapping things up now. We've been talking about birth, birthing stories. And just to finish up, to talk about this a little bit more, we were just saying off air that there's like good press and bad press. And for me, it was more like I felt like people really enjoyed moaning about the hospitals. And so I was decided to have my second baby, people were like, oh, you don't want it there, you don't want it. And so in the end, because I was being Mrs. Super, trying to be super positive, I was like, well, actually, I got so fed up with people moaning about Queen Mary's Hospital. I went, Queen Elizabeth, sorry. I went, oh, well, I'm going to be the positive story. I'm going to be the positive story in this.
And then you came out going, well, that was the worst
TripAdvisor. Came right. Yeah, I'm putting on TripAdvisor. But what I realised was birth is just hard and everyone wants to blame someone. And I think that was the thing. I think they were fine.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I can't fault the hospital. Really? I really can't. No, I can't. I mean, I don't think it would be that different wherever you were. I just think their main priority is that you and the baby are healthy.
Yeah.
And I really felt that, and I trusted them, and I thought those women were amazing. So hats off to them. They're freaking awesome.
Hats off to them. Well, they love it, though. They love it. That's why they do it.
I love it. Oh, they love it.
So I said at the top of the show that you were on maternity leave when you got into... So this was your first or second?
Second.
I've not done maths properly, have I?
So I've been doing comedy 4 years now. So
She's a baby.
So I was on maternity leave with my boy.
Right. So how old was he then?
He was about 7 months.
Oh, wow.
And my daughter was 2.
And you thought, I need something else in my life.
Completely destroy my sleep. Completely. I just need to completely push myself to the limit. A friend of mine wanted to do a comedy writing course. So I ended up going with her, doing a stand-up comedy course. I never thought in a million years I'd stand on stage.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, I'll do
a course. What's your background then? I know this is a boring question, but I find it really interesting.
I was a teacher.
Was you?
Yeah.
So teachers are secret little performers, really.
Secret performers. Well, people say that, but it's a very different skill set.
Yeah.
So the first time, like, I mean, even standing in front of the group and having to tell jokes on the way home, I threw up just through adrenaline and nerves. Just I'm not a performer, and I've got no connection to the arts, or, you know, nobody I know has. So I was just a really conventional.
No one in your family?
No connection whatsoever.
Secret thespians?
Nope. So I didn't have, like, a lot of people will say, oh, yeah, I started doing comedy a year ago. But then you find out that they've got, you know, people suggest it to them, or, you know, they've got family involved, or they've got friends involved, or they had, you know, a dance background or a performance. No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing.
So what was the moment then that went from throwing up to, like, actually...
When I did my first gig.
First proper gig. So that was in front of the course.
Yeah. So when I did my first gig and it went well, I was like, yeah, I got the bug. And then I just started doing all the open mic nights, and slogged my way up.
So I'm just staring at you going.
To semi.
No, you're doing bloody well. I was interested in writing. How do you write? I know it's a big loaded question, but I was just thinking about it on the way here, because I did a gig on Saturday, and that was my first
one back.
So it was outside. So you've done an indoor one, haven't you?
I've done 3 now. Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, show off. For reference, it's the 27th of August, 2020. If people,
it's not like 2022. I've done 3 indoor gigs.
Yeah.
In the last 4
and
years.
We are living in a pandemic. Just to remind anyone, in case this is a time capsule and you listen years ago, and you're like, what? She's been going for 4 years and she's done 3
indoor gigs.
Live comedy. Is starting to kind of come back in a very sort of like trying to be safe way, but even though we've had lockdown, and obviously I just feel like all these other comics haven't got kids, I'm just like, I have all this time to write jokes. I am like, just haven't felt motivated to write anything. And also Jeff Innocent said this, and it's like, I don't know what to write because things are changing so much, so, you know, it goes out of date so quickly.
Yeah.
So it's like, what to write?
Yeah.
And on Saturday I emceed, so I don't know about when you emceed. Do you emcee very much? I don't think I've seen you emcee.
I've emceed a few times.
Do you like it?
It's a real skill, and it's one that's good to learn, and I don't mind it. I think I'm definitely getting better at it. I remember my first time emceeing, and I was like, oh, this is just hell on earth. Because normally you do your set and then you leave. And I was like, oh, I've got to go back.
You didn't
like
the
feeling. Keep going back.
Right.
But when I'm having a good time emceeing, then I really enjoy it. Yeah.
Of course. What was I saying? Lost my thread.
Writing.
Yeah. So when I emcee, it is a skill set, because this is how I do it. I think you've got to have a bit of material, but then sometimes they might be the sort of audience that love you talking to them. So you've got to sort of have both in your armour. And I didn't have much material in my armour. And then a person in the audience really threw me, but apparently I handled it really well. But it did sort of throw me a bit in terms of material, so I just sort of went with talking to them. But afterward, I said to a friend, I said, oh God, I've really got to write. You know, I just wish I had more jokes. We just got to write, haven't you? And I was like,
yeah, but even when you write a million and one things.
Yeah.
You don't know what's funny and what's not. You've got to be able to. We're just waving at small children outside.
Small children.
There's a little girl. Oh. Hello. Hi. She thinks very cute.
She thinks we're famous or something because we're sitting in a box.
Oh, I know, but she's very adorable. I like her shoes. So you don't know what's funny and what's not. So
how do you write then? Do you write in a darkened room or do you just
write
on stage, as they say?
Yeah, so I just take an idea and then test it out on stage. But I used to write just by walking the pram and recording into my phone.
Oh, that's a good one.
And then now I literally just write one joke at a time. So
You are not Alan Partridge. Joke for...
Yeah, it is.
Saturday's gig. Pushing the pram.
It is true that I'm not somebody who can just go and write 15 minutes of brand new and just go and whop it out. I'm like, no, I'll have my old stuff and then might just try out one new joke and then just let that evolve and then write another new joke. So I'm quite slow in that process. And there's stuff that I forget about really quickly. Like I try it out a few times and I completely forget about it. And I'm like, oh yeah, go back to that.
Yes.
So I don't have a strategy.
Yeah, I prefer, this is why like things like Edinburgh are brilliant, because I prefer just like, yeah, having a few nuggets of ideas.
Yeah.
Going, I'm not quite sure what the even punchline is.
Yeah, and just saying it on stage.
And just saying it. And sometimes you write it on stage, as they call it. Or do you ever write with someone?
No.
No. I went through a different phase, different friends, but like don't live near me now, where we subconsciously like just meet up for coffee. Yeah. And they were really good because they would go, you should use that as material. And you know, like sometimes you can't see it and you're like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I need that friend back in my life, actually.
Yeah.
Must get in touch with him. that's what I need. Okay. Well, let's finish on our little thing. So I'm giving you a child-free night out. And you can do as you please. Mm-hmm. This is imaginary, by the way. I can't really get to it. but within, you know, the realms of reality, like you can't fly or something.
Okay, right, sure.
And so let's say sort of three or four things you can do in this evening.
Okay.
Just saying that because some people have gone a bit mad. So I'm just narrowing it down to a little bit.
Okay, three or four things in one evening.
Just fuck you, did go a little bit loony. So where are you going? What are you eating? What are you wearing? Who are you going with?
Definitely not going out. No. Not going out. Hate going out. I want you to...
So the kids have been taken off somewhere.
The kids have been taken off. Can you also take my husband?
No, he's not with you. Okay.
He's not with me. No, I want to be on my own. I want to be in a hotel room. I want room service, which is some kind of like, I don't know, like katsu curry room service, bottle of Prosecco, and then just loads of shit films to watch on TV. And I don't want to speak to anyone.
Wow.
Boom. That's what I said to my husband. He was like, what do you want for your birthday? I was like, a night in a travel lodge. Just put me in a travel lodge by myself, please, just for one night.
Do it. I know loads of people that do that. Because I was saying about, you probably don't know, Laura Carr. She used to do stand-up, but we're still good friends. That sounds awful.
She used to stand-up, but like, I'm still friends with her.
I'm still friends with her. I let her be.
She's still like, okay.
She's still funny in real life. And she went on holiday to Greece for three nights on her own. I was like, you know, good for her. But she's not got any kids or anything. I was like, in my old days, four kids, I'd have been like, oh, it's a bit lonely. But now, yeah, I could definitely do it.
Yeah.
Love a few days on my own.
Yeah. Just have a bit of headspace.
God, no one said a hotel room. That's a new one.
Hotel by myself, yeah.
Sindhu V said to do a gig. Which actually, I was kind of like, that kind of makes sense. Do a good gig, maybe.
Yeah.
That buzz afterwards.
Yeah.
Then go back to your hotel room.
Then but go back to my hotel room. But that's essentially just like doing Glee or something.
Yeah. I know.
So that's the same as work. So that's not really like...
She's a workaholic.
Well, she's doing well on it.
She's doing well. Lovely. So there you go. We've got that to look forward to. One day when I get a sponsorship, I'll be able to give all this to...
Brilliant.
To my people. That's... I'm looking
to my people.
To my people. Sorry, I don't know why I'm calling you my people. My guests.
To my people.
It's because we were talking about a certain comedy producer who sort of talks like they're her people. I think that's why it's in my head. God, I've started a cult. Okay. If you've enjoyed listening to me and my people.
Is that door locked? Or
then please keep subscribing and sharing and rating. This is the only way people get to find out about us. It really is. I've had some lovely feedback recently, and people have been DMing me, which is all really lovely, but no one else can see it. So I need to put it on iTunes so everyone can see it.
Yeah. Screen grab it and retweet it.
I've been doing that as well. Yeah. But you need it on that bloody thing to work up. Yeah. Well, thank you so much,
No,
Esther.
You're more welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's been... I've shut up shop with birth, but you kind of... No, you haven't made me want to do it again.
No. But don't be stupid.
For a second. let's end on some Joni Mitchell. And you've been listening to the Funny Mummies for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman Show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it, and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.